Now, attorneys general from 48 states, plus the District of Columbia and Puerto Rico, announced yesterday that they're launching an investigation into Google for potential violations of antitrust law. A smaller group of state attorneys general are also behind a similar probe of Facebook. In July, the federal Department of Justice started investigating the companies that control big portions of social media and e-commerce. Here's Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton speaking in front of the U.S. Supreme Court building yesterday.
This is a company that dominates all aspects of advertising on the internet and searching on the internet, as they dominate the buyer side, the seller side, the auction side, and even the video side with YouTube.
Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call added to those comments, tweeting, quote, "We must ensure that competition over technological innovations and privacy protections isn't stifled." Hal Singer is a managing director at the management consulting firm Econ One Research and an adjunct professor at Georgetown University's McDonough School of Business. He specializes in antitrust law. Hal, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Can you tell us more about what these attorneys general are looking into when it comes to Google and possible antitrust action?
Sure. They're looking into whether Google has violated the antitrust laws. And to do that, this would be a Section 2 case, a single firm monopolization case. Now, there haven't been many of those in the intervening 20 years since the famous Microsoft case. And what you have to do to succeed here is you have to connect a restraint of trade that is engaged in by the defendant, in this case Google, with some kind of injury to a consumer. And that's where things are going to get very interesting, because, as you know, on the consumer side or the user side of their platform, it's a two-sided platform. Consumers don't face positive prices. It's quote unquote free. Now, of course, it's not really free because we're giving up something. We're giving up our privacy and our sensitive data. So what the AGs signaled in their announcement yesterday and in the lead up to it is that they're going to focus, at least initially, on the other side of the market, on the advertising side. And it makes complete sense to me as an antitrust practitioner. And that if the game is connecting some restraint to a price effect, you would start naturally on the side with prices, and that's the advertising side.
And accusations are that Google has tried to control kind of every step, as we heard the Texas Attorney General say, every step of the advertising chain. And when competitors come up with similar products or parts of products, they buy them and integrate them into their systems. Is that something that the Attorney General will be looking at?
It is. There's a notion now that Google might insert certain provisions in their contracts with advertisers and publishers that make it harder for those third parties to deal with rivals up and down the distribution chain. And so that to me is a natural area that is very, very conducive to antitrust inquiry, because again, you have a restraint. It goes outside of the firm, and it might be connected to some price effect. And if that's true, then I think you have the beginnings of a plausible case.
Right. There's nothing illegal about my company being big, but if I use the bigness and the power that provides to try to keep other competitors from even getting into the business, then I could run into antitrust trouble.
Correct. And I just to put a finer point on it, and the way that you get there, the way that you show antitrust injury is you've got to connect the restraint, or what we call the challenge conduct, with some kind of effect. And the effect doesn't have to, but often takes the form of a price increase or of an output reduction. And so it seems to me that all the signals that we got yesterday and leading up to it is that the way they're going to at least initially construct their case is to look on the advertiser side and see if they can somehow connect what Google is doing to higher advertising prices.
One of the arguments, as I understand it, that a company like Google might make with the advertising prices in particular is that, hold on, there's competition. Facebook, for example, makes money from advertising, so we don't control the whole shebang.
Yeah, they could make that argument, but all that's going on in the background of some well-constructed economic model that either is going to show or it's not going to show. that the conduct that's being challenged had the effect of inflating prices. So, yes, there is some competition, as is in every antitrust case. There's never an airtight perfect, or there's rarely an airtight perfect monopoly on earth. So what an economist has to do to show harm in these cases is to control for all those other things and try to isolate the effect of whatever restraint is being challenged.
Talking to Hal Singer from Econ One Research, looking at an attorney's general investigation. Most of the country on board with this, looking at Google. There's also one looking at Facebook. There are questions about Amazon. There's federal investigations going on. And Hal, let's talk about this. For a long time, I think there's an idea, especially in Silicon Valley, that, hold on, these companies are different. The old antitrust rules don't apply. There's a scale that it just makes sense for these companies to get really big like they are. Now, all of a sudden, it seems like antitrust cases are coming out of the woodwork. What's going on?
Well, so they have been flying under the antitrust radar, and there's a seminal paper by a law school student at Yale named Lina Khan that explains how Amazon has been able to evade antitrust scrutiny. And another scholar at Columbia, Tim Wu, is a leader on this front. But there's this notion that Professor Wu uses called price fixation, the price fixation of antitrust. And it means exactly what it sounds, which is very economic centric, and it typically entails a proof that, again, I sound like a broken record here, that the conduct, right, that you're engaged in is somehow leading to higher prices. That's where a lot of antitrust cases have gone. And so by not charging at least the consumers in their two-sided platforms a positive price, it's made it very hard for antitrust enforcers to try to come up with a theory for how these platforms are causing anti-competitive injury. And so they've been able to skirt or dodge or evade enforcement for that reason.
So one, Timothy Wu was on the show a while back, and as I dimly recall, it's been a while. One of the concerns he said that should be considered with antitrust is, okay, is Google or is Amazon preventing companies from entering the marketplace, companies that could ultimately have given consumers either a lower cost good or a better service good or a service that provides better privacy, things like that. So ultimately there's a harm, but it doesn't fit into that immediate cost model you were talking about.
Yeah, I think what you're describing is what I would describe as an innovation harm. And so the idea here is that, and all the platforms are doing it, but it's really easy to see with Google and Amazon. But you know, they've figured out how to leverage their platform, whether it's in e-commerce for Amazon or search for Google, into what are called ancillary or adjacent markets. That is, and so for Amazon, if Amazon wants to take over some vertical, whether it's diapers or you name it, anything that's being sold, right, it can make sure that users are steered when searching for that product to the Amazon affiliate. And it can even clone what is now popular on Amazon. Just so you know, I'm going to do a private label of whatever is selling like mad, and I'm going to make my own, and then I'm going to steer people to it. And the concern is not a short run harm, right? Because if anything, when Amazon steers, you know, clones a product and then steers a search to its affiliated clone, it's very hard to say where the injury is in the short run, right? If all I'm doing is I'm being diverted from an independent over to Amazon and sometimes even at a lower price, where's the harm? The harm from an economic vantage is in the long run. And what we're worried about is if these independent merchants are sitting there and watching the appropriation take place, you know, before their eyes, they would rationally say to themselves, you know, why would I go through the effort of trying to come up with some whiz-bang device to be sold on Amazon if all that's going to happen is they're going to steal it and then steer searches away? And so what the concern is from an economics perspective is that this kind of appropriation and discrimination could deter future innovation at the edge, and that could in turn lead to a reduction in choices for consumers in future periods. But again, this is very speculative. It's hard to quantify, and it's why I think the antitrust lens is not the appropriate way to go for these types of harms. So just to repeat, I want to be careful. I don't want to suggest for a second I'm pouring rain on this parade. There are viable antitrust theories that work on say the advertising side of the market for Google. But what I'm very worried about is going into a courtroom where the only harm that you have is an innovation harm at the edge that we can't see, that we can only speculate, you know, is could happen in future periods. If that's all you got, then I don't like those odds when I go in. Trust court.
Well, you just hinted that there might be a better remedy for that kind of innovation harm. What would that be?
Right. And so a lot of scholars, I'll start with this piece by the Stigler Center, and it was led by a professor at Yale, Fiona Scott Morton, who did a stint in Obama's DOJ. And she and her co-authors, there's an Oxford co-author, Ariel Ezrahi, there's something like five, I won't name them all, but let's just take my word, these are kind of antitrust heavyweights. And they came to the conclusion that for certain types of conduct, like this discrimination, that could lead to innovation harms in future periods, that regulation, not antitrust, is the proper remedy. And in particular, what they advocate, and what I've been advocating for as well, is the notion of a non-discrimination regime, and task some either new agency, that's what they are calling for, or I would say you could give it to the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, task them with policing discriminatory acts by vertically integrated online platforms, but pursuant not to the antitrust or consumer welfare standard, but instead pursuant to a different standard, a discrimination standard, in which complainants would at least have a chance at succeeding.
Talking to Hal Singer, Managing Director at Econ One Research and Adjunct Professor in Georgetown University's Business School. He's with us to talk about antitrust investigations into big tech companies like Google. Wisconsin is on board with one of those with other attorneys general around the country. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about antitrust law and how could or could not apply to companies like Google, Facebook, or Amazon? Are you concerned about the dominance of these big companies? If you work in the digital field or online sales, has this affected your livelihood? What, if anything, do you want to see the government do? Regulation? Bust up the trusts, if they are in fact trusts? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with Hal Singer, Managing Director at Econ One Research and Adjunct Professor at Georgetown, looking at a new state-led antitrust investigation into Google. There's also other antitrust action targeting other big technology companies at the state and federal levels. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think Google and Amazon are too big, too economically powerful, too able to stifle competition and to set their own terms for consumers? Or do you appreciate the services they provide and aren't too worried about that? Do you want to see more regulation? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Hal, we were talking about regulations. Maybe you say they need to be changed. Is our legal system, our legal framework, our regulations kind of out of date when it comes to these big technology companies?
They are. I mean, the problem is that, for example, if you look at what tools the Federal Trade Commission has to go after one of these platforms, and if we focus on these innovation harms that we were just touching on before the break, you know, if you were to pursue this under an antitrust standard, then I think you'd have a very difficult time. And I go back and I cite the results of the Microsoft appeal, where whenever the harms couldn't be seen or felt or touched by the court, whenever they were even slightly speculative, the court was willing to undo. This is the appeals court was willing to undo the findings of the district court judge, and we don't have a lot of other innovation cases, you know, in the interim. And so to me, that's the mismatch, is that the Federal Trade Commission doesn't have the right tool yet to go after this sort of conduct. And so to me, the simplest shot to getting there is for Congress to give the FTC a new line of authority, a new standard, and the standard I would call a non-discrimination standard. And I like to cite back to what Congress did to a nearly identical problem in the early 90s. At that time, the dominant platform of that era were cable operators. And cable operators, tell me if this sounds familiar, started vertically integrating into content and appropriating ideas on the edge. You know, if they saw a home shopping network, for example, they'd copy it, and then they would pull the independents' home shopping, and they would give preference to their own. And that gave rise to the 1992 Cable Act, and Congress gave the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, a new line of authority. And in Section 616 of the Act, it said we want you, the agency, to police acts of discrimination by vertically integrated cable operators. So, and importantly, not pursuant to the antitrust standard, but instead pursuant to a new non-discrimination standard. So I think the template is there. We don't have a movement yet in Congress to put it together.
Let's bring on a caller now. Peter is with us in Brookfield. Peter, hi.
Hello.
What do you think, Peter?
Well, I personally think that Amazon and Google should be given room to perform. I mean, they're successful. I mean, that's, you know, part of what we, you know, this country's about is that achieving and celebrating your success, and others, you know, employees, other companies that manufacture, win. And their integration into the way they market their product and get it to the public is going to help other companies. It'd be like if you're holding your back, it'd be like the Beatles, you say to the Beatles, guess what, you guys can't resist Hey Dude. You know, it's a little too good. Sgt. Pepper, that's way too good. I mean,
Peter, thanks for the call. So Peter's saying, and I'm sure Google would be happy with this, don't punish success, Hal.
Yeah, no, and we're not. And so if you listen to my remedy, and I want to contrast it with, say, Senator Warren, Elizabeth Warren's remedy, I would give Google a free license to go into whatever vertical or adjacent market they want, right? There's no stopping them. So listen very carefully, because it's a subtle difference. What I'm saying is that once they go into some vertical, say local search you probably have heard cases about Yelp complaining that Google has steered searches that previously went to Yelp now to its own kind of local search and review site. They're free to go into that business. They just can't use their platform in a way to unlevel the playing field and to steer all searches to their own affiliate. Now, I want to distinguish this kind of non-discrimination regime that I'm laying out with Elizabeth Warren's solution, which is structural separation. It's a fancy way of just saying that Google couldn't do anything except basic search. So they would be barred from, say, going into mapping or shopping or any of the verticals that they've taken over. And then I would sympathize with Peter's concern, which is that why shouldn't Google, if they do a better map, for example, or they do better shopping, why shouldn't they be allowed to get in that space? And I sympathize with the concern, and I'd want to express that if we could go my way, Google would be free to compete in those areas. They just couldn't use their platform advantage to artificially, you know, slant the playing field in their favor.
But isn't that where it gets tricky? Isn't it kind of hard to tell if Google is slanting the playing field? It's in it might be buried in lots and lots of code the way they do that.
Yeah, it might be, and so that's why these things would have to be adjudicated or on a case by case basis. So you know, I go back to Yelp. Yelp is convinced that when you they've hired these data scientists who have figured out that if you trick Google, including Tim Wu, a name that we mentioned before, if you trick Google into reverting back to its organic algorithm that does not give any preference to the property based on its affiliation with Google, then you get a different ordering of search results than you will under Google's current algorithm. That was kind of complicated, but another way of saying it is that Google appears to be moving up its properties in the rankings based on affiliation with Google. And the problem with that is that if you're thinking about a mobile interface, the user is only going to see a few results And so Yelp or the Independent in this example that would have otherwise made it to the top is now being buried in a place that no one sees. And so it's a long way of answering your question. The way that you make these determinations, I think, is on a case by case basis, and you allow some independent to bring a complaint and say, "Hey, we're being discriminated against," and I'd say, "Prove it."
In our last minute or so, Hal, the attorneys general from around the country are doing an investigation. They're not bringing any charges now. Is there a chance that the investigation brings out some things that are damaging from a public relations standpoint to these companies and maybe leads them to modify their behavior voluntarily?
Well, that's a very good point. I imagine that just the spotlight alone of an investigation is going to cause them to moderate some of their behavior. I think that Google and Amazon, Facebook, and even Apple, they all have the potential just to basically swallow the internet if they want. They can take all of these verticals. I think the only thing that restrains them in part is not really an antitrust law, but just a concern about what the reaction would be of the public if they saw that much of independence were driven from their platforms. So I do think the more that the spotlight is shined on these practices, the more the platforms will tap the brakes on some of the most egregious examples that we read about in the paper almost daily.
Hal, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for having me.
That's Hal Singer, Managing Director at Econ One Research and Adjunct Professor at Georgetown University's McDonough School of Business. He joined us today to talk about an antitrust investigation into Google launched by attorneys general from 50 states and territories, including Wisconsin.